RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by news across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, week in review, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miss Eleni. We'll conclude our program for today with listeners' mailbag. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Free visa policy boosts foreign arrivals. Indonesian government is to grant amnesty to Aceh rebels. Now the news in detail. Indonesia saw a 4.8% increase in foreign arrivals in 2015 following the government's decision to extend its visa-free policy. Law and Human Rights Ministry's Immigration Director General spokesman Heru Santoso Anantayuda said that more than 5 million foreigners visited Indonesia in 2015 compared to more than 4.8 million in 2014. Heru attributed the surge to the free visa policy implemented by the government in September, as shown by an increase in the number of foreigners visiting the country using the free visa policy. In 2015, there were more than 3 million foreigners visiting the country under the free visa facility, compared to only more than 1.6 million in 2014. Meanwhile, the number of foreigners who entered the country with a visa on arrival was down to around 1.2 million in 2015 from around 2.5 million in 2014. The government has set a target to attract 12 million foreign tourists next year. One of its strategies to boost tourist arrival numbers includes waiving advance of visa requirements for another 45 countries by the end of this year, meaning that a total of 90 nationalities will be eligible to visit the country without an advance visa for a maximum of 30 days. The Indonesian government will respond to a proposal for the amnesty requested by former Free Aceh Movement or GAM combatant Nurdin bin Ismail, popularly known as Din Minimi, following his recent surrender. President Joko Widodo said recently that the government applauded the surrender of Din and other members of his group. He said the government has long urged members of the group hiding in the forests of Aceh to lay down their weapons and join government efforts to develop the province. When asked whether Din and his 120 followers would undergo a legal process or automatically be granted an amnesty, President Joko Widodo said he would find the best solution. Din had been a major target of security operations before he and his group surrendered to the government during a ceremony presided by National Intelligence Agency BIN Chief Sutioso on Tuesday, December 29, 2015. The groups agreed to surrender after being promised an amnesty for any crimes committed by its 120 members who have left their hiding places and for 30 members apprehended by Aceh police. During the ceremony, the group handed over dozens of guns and hundreds of rounds of ammunition. Din's group was blamed for several attacks over the past 3 years, including the killing of 2 soldiers and several kidnappings in the country's westernmost province. The Indonesian Navy sank 10 more illegal fishing boats on New Year's Eve, a move aimed at further proving that the country is serious about promoting its territorial integrity. Navy spokesperson Commander M. Zainuddin said that the government remained consistent, so anyone violating Indonesia's laws should receive harsh punishment. Zainuddin said that out of the 10 illegal boats, 4 were foreign boats flying Philippine and Malaysian flags, while 6 boats flew Indonesian flags but had foreign crews. The Navy sank the boats in 4 different locations in Tarakan, North Kalimantan, Beting Camar, Belawan in North Sumatra, in Ranai, Riau Islands, and in Tahuna, North Sulawesi. Zainuddin said the Navy had received a court order to carry out its task and that the decision to sink the boats was based on allegations that they did not have the necessary documents to run their fishing operations in Indonesian waters. The Navy also involved the Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Ministry and Anti-Illegal Fishing Task Force in their operations against illegal fishing activities. According to ministry data, the country caught 157 illegal fishing boats in 2015, 107 of which have been sunk. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Fishing industry players have urged the government to address supply chain issues in the distribution of fresh fish to the local fish processing industry. Fish Cannery Association Chairman Adi Surya said that the organization, an association of 41 processing companies, saw a drop in export of at least 50% this year due to insufficient supply of fresh fish. The Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Ministry has recently limited fish imports and banned fishermen from directly selling fish to traders while still at sea. The journey back to the port just to sell the fish raises logistic costs even higher and makes the fish less fresh. Adi said that if the government wanted to continue with its current program, it should provide better cold storage facilities near ports to keep fish fresh. The ministry's fishing port director, Syahril Fauzi, has acknowledged the lack of cold storage facilities and said that the government was currently in the process of attracting more investors to open cold storage facilities and increase electricity supply in regions to increase ice production. However, Adi said that poor coordination among state institutions was a common problem. Last item. Indonesia Home Minister Cahyokumolo has said that the government plans to dissolve the Batam Free Trade Zone Management Agency, or BPKFTZ, in an effort to eliminate the overlapping of authority in Batam. However, the minister's statement is not considered an official announcement from the government. The Batam BPKFTZ will continue to carry out its working program and has asked investors to remain calm in response to the comment. Batam BPKFTZ head Mustafa Wijaya said, as quoted by the Jakarta Post, that Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution has corrected Cahyo's comment on December 31st and has said that it's not true that BPKFTZ is to be dissolved. So Mustafa said his side will continue with development programs in Batam. To end the news, here are the main points once again. Free visa policy boosts foreign arrivals. Indonesian government to grant amnesty to Aceh rebels. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasi, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. We'll come back with me, Steve, in our weekly segment, News from Across the Country, presenting you various interesting events from across the country during the week. Listener, the first news comes from Lebak, Banten. The Regional Disaster Medication Agency, or BPBD of Lebak, prohibited tourists who enjoy the New Year's Eve to swim on the coast of the South Beach because the wave was potential to reach 3.5 meters. Daily Chief Executive of BPBD in Lebak Regency, Kaprawi, said in Lebak last Wednesday that it aimed to prevent sea accidents. Based on the report from the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, or BMKG, weather in the coast of Banten South Beach deteriorates until the next week because of low pressure in the Indian Ocean. The wind speed reaches 15 knots or 30 km per hour. It blows from the southeast with visibility of 4 to 6 km. Thus, according to Kaprawi, condition in the South Beach is very dangerous for the tourists to swim. He explained that the weather in the South Beach, which directly faces in the Indian Ocean, has different character from the beach in Sunda Strait in the north. The wave is quite high, with many coral reefs that it is dangerous for visitors who swim around the beach. The Regional Disaster Mitigation Agency prohibited visitors to swim around Ujung Kulon Beach, Binu Angen, Bagedur, Panggarangan, Sukahujan, Cihara, Bayah, Ciantir, and Sawarna. The next news comes from Jakarta. Jakarta Provincial Government launched two child-friendly integrated public spaces, or RPTRA, in South Jakarta and Central Jakarta. The launching was done by Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama in Jakarta last Wednesday. The first location that was launched was on Jalan Bintaro Permai in Bintaro Subdistrict Pesanggerahan South Jakarta. Meanwhile, the second one was RPTRA Karet Tengsin on Jalan Karet Pasar Baru Barat 1, Tanah Abang District, Central Jakarta. In launching, Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama expressed his hope that the people care about the others and environment more. He also encouraged the people to use the public space well. In 2015, Jakarta Provincial Government has launched 11 child-friendly integrated public spaces, or RPTRA, in the capital city. Listener, the last news come from the city of Dumai, Riau Province. A resident revealed the finding of an ancient ceramic in Buluhala Village, Sembilan District. Masri, landowner who found the ancient ceramic, said last Tuesday that ceramics like ancient jar and bowl were found on his land under old fig tree when digging 2 meters deep. According to him, there are around 3 bowls and 2 jars lifted from the soil surface in 2011. However, he didn't report the finding to the local government until 2015 because he didn't know that it was ancient heritage. He said that data from Dumai City Culture, Tourism and Youth Service in 2015 did not explain the origin of the ceramic in details, but it is strongly assumed that the ceramic comes from China in the 18th century. According to him, the ceramic bowls are still intact and good enough. The white ceramic is simply adorned with a blue motif, while the ancient jar of about 30 cm is dark gray. Well, listener, that ends news from across the country over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Steve. Thanks for listening.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with 1959. Luna 1 becomes the first spacecraft to reach the vicinity of the moon. Luna 1 was the first spacecraft to reach the vicinity of the Earth's moon and the first spacecraft to be placed in heliocentric orbit. Intended as an impactor, Luna 1 was launched as part of the Luna program in 1959. However, in the process, it is becoming the first spacecraft to leave geocentric orbit. Next is 2010, Burj Khalifa, the world's tallest building, is officially opened. Burj Khalifa, known as Burj Dubai before its inauguration, is a mega-tall skyscraper in Dubai, United Arab Emirates. It is the tallest artificial structure in the world, standing at 829.8 meters. And the construction of Burj Khalifa began in 2004 with the exterior completed in 2009. The primary structure is reinforced concrete. The building opened in 2010 as part of the new development called Downtown Dubai. It is designed to be the centerpiece of large-scale mixed-use development. The decision to build the building is reportedly based on the government's decision to diversify from an oil-based economy and for Dubai to gain international recognition. The building was named in honor of the ruler of Abu Dhabi and president of the United Arab Emirates, Khalifa bin Zayed Al Nahyan. Abu Dhabi and the United Arab Emirates government lent Dubai money to pay its debts. The building broke numerous height records. Burj Khalifa was designed by Adrian Smith, then of Skidmore, Owings & Merrill, whose firm also designed the Willis Tower and the One World Trade Center. The design of Burj Khalifa is derived from patterning systems embodied in Islamic architecture, incorporating cultural and historical elements particular to the region, such as the spiral minarets. Last is from 1951, Korean War, Chinese and North Korean forces capture Seoul. The Third Battle of Seoul, also known as the Chinese New Year's Offensive, was a battle of the Korean War which took place from December 31, 1950 to January 7, 1951, around the South Korean capital of Seoul. In the aftermath of the major Chinese victory at the Battle of the Chung-On River, the United Nations command started to contemplate the possibility of evacuation from the Korean Peninsula. Upon learning of this development, China's Chairman Mao Zedong ordered the Chinese People's Volunteer Army to cross the 38th parallel in an effort to pressure the United Nations forces to withdraw from South Korea. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Highlight of the Week. And today, the highlight is on New KPK Buildings Brings New Spirit. Ahead of New Year 2016, the new building of the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK was inaugurated by President Joko Widodo on December 29, 2015, on the 12th anniversary of KPK. President Joko Widodo said in his speech that the momentum to have a new building and KPK new leader can bring new spirit to eradicate corruption. According to the president, all challenges can be faced by strengthening capacity of institution and competence of human resources along with improvement of facilities. In addition, President Joko Widodo showed his support and hope to KPK to be independent and be able to realize a clean government, Indonesia which is free from corruption. Meanwhile, KPK Chairman Agus Raharjo said in his speech that KPK building becomes a valuable lesson not only for KPK but also for other state institutions. A lesson on how to realize a new house of KPK with full accountability, integrity, and responsibility. Agus Raharjo hoped that KPK new building becomes motivation to work hard, increase togetherness, to achieve Indonesia which is free from corruption. After KPK has a new building, many people ask how the old building is. Acting head of KPK Public Relations Bureau Yuyu Andriati said that the old KPK building will be used for a learning activity called Anti-Corruption Academy. According to Yayu, the academy is like a training center, not only for KPK but also for ministries or other institutions and public that want to learn anti-corruption. However, Yuyu Andriati said that the plan hasn't been discussed completely. It still needs further discussion on the use of KPK old building. The establishment of KPK new building went through a long journey. Plan to build a new building to support performance has been addressed to the House of Representatives since 2008. However, it started construction on November 29, 2013. The 16-story building, which is built on more than 8,000 meter square land, has a secure, smart, and green concept. The launching of KPK new building was more special with the presence of the 6th Indonesian President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono and the 3rd Indonesian President B.J. Habibie, the 9th Indonesian Vice President Hamzah Has, German Ambassador to Indonesia George Wischel, and former KPK leaders. Well, that ends Highlight of the Week from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the Week in Review, which bring you various events that happened this week. Let's start with Monday, December the 28, 2015. National Development Planning Minister, head of the National Development Planning Board, Sofian Jalil, early said that a public service agency could be set up to ensure transparent and accountable management of the Energy Resilience Fund. The government is conducting a study on the management of the fund. In the near future, the government will outline a legal basis for the management and mechanism of the fund, which will be derived from levies collected from the sales of premium gasoline and diesel. Meanwhile, on Tuesday, President Joko Widodo, or Jokowi, said the Corruption Eradication Commission has managed to win the public trust and meet expectation to make Indonesia free of corruption. The agency should be grateful and lauded, the president noted while inaugurating the new KPK building on Tuesday. He urged the commission to work in a more professional, intensive, and sustainable manner to uphold the public trust. The president stated that he had always supported and encouraged the Corruption Eradication Commission. The commission remains an independent body which is free of political influence. The independence of the commission must be reflected in its legal measures, which are professional, credible, transparent, and accountable. The president has forecasted that the commission would face heavier challenges in future as corruption cases would increase in number and complexity. He, however, expressed optimism that every challenge would be dealt with by strengthening the institutional capacity and the competency of human resources. At the same time, the supporting facilities and infrastructure must also be improved. Still on Tuesday, but in the evening, President Joko Widodo and First Lady Iriana arrived in Mopah Airport in Merauke, Papua, to visit Indonesia's eastern provinces of Papua and West Papua. According to the head of the Press Media Information Bureau of the Presidential Secretariat, President Joko Widodo would not only visit Merauke but also Wamena and Sorong before ending 2015 at Raja Ampat. After attending an Indonesian Dreams for 2015-2085 event in Hasanabsai Field in Merauke, the president and his entourage traveled to Wamena by plane, where he dedicated new terminals at Wamena and Kaimana and met with the people of Jaya Wijaya. On Thursday, the president proceeded to Sorong and Raja Ampat before returning to Jakarta on Friday. On January the 1st, and he will visit a local sago factory. This was the first visit to Papua and West Papua made by the president following his first visit to the eastern provinces in December 2014 and May 2015. Next, over to New Year's Eve. Actually, this is Thursday. The Navy sunk 10 more illegal fishing boats on New Year's Eve, a move aimed at further proving that the country is serious about promoting its territorial integrity. Navy spokesperson Commander M. Zainuddin said the government remains consistent, so anyone violating Indonesia's laws should receive harsh punishment. Zainuddin said that out of the 10 illegal boats, 4 were foreign boats flying Philippine and Malaysian flags, while 6 boats flew Indonesian flags but had foreign crews. The Navy sank the boats in 4 different locations, namely in Tarakan, North Kalimantan, Beting Camar, Belawan, in North Sumatra, in Rinai, Riau Islands, and in Tahuna, North Sulawesi. Zainuddin said the Navy had received a court order to carry out its task and that the decision to sink the boats was based on allegations that they did not have the necessary documents to run their fishing operation in Indonesian waters. The Navy also involved the Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Ministry and Anti-Illegal Fishing Task Force in their operation against illegal fishing activities. According to military data, the country caught 157 illegal fishing boats in 2015, 107 of which have been sunk. And last, the news from Saturday, the construction of an international airport in Kulon Progo District, Yogyakarta Province, will kick off in May 2016. Vice President Yusuf Kalla held a closed-door meeting at Congot Radar in Kulon Progo on Saturday, said that land clearance and design will be completed in May so it can be completed in 2019 or 2020. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said all serious problems related to the planned construction of the airport have been resolved so that the project can be started soon. Well, that was the week in review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now for us to bring you news in brief. Indonesia saw a 4.8% increase in foreign arrivals in 2015 following the government's decision to extend its visa-free policy. The Indonesian government will respond to a proposal for amnesty requested by former Free Aceh Movement or GAM combatant Nurdin bin Ismail, popularly known as Din Minimi, following his recent surrender. The Indonesian Navy sank 10 more illegal fishing boats on New Year's Eve, a move aimed at further providing that the country is serious about promoting its territorial integrity. Fishing industry players have urged the government to address supply chain issues in the distribution of fresh fish to the local fish processing industry. The Indonesian Home Minister Cahyo Kumolo has said that the government plans to dissolve the Batam Free Trade Zone Management Agency in an effort to eliminate the overlapping of authority in Batam. That was the end of News in Brief. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, to the frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miss Lenny.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesian tourism, including art and culture, places of interest, and also culinary. Today's edition will be introducing Lenggok Sono Beach in Malang, East Java Province. So stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides through shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voi.co.id. Lenggok Sono Beach on the south coast of Java Island is located on the shores of the Indonesian Ocean in Lenggok Sono, Purwodadi, Tirtoyudo, Malang, East Java. To reach this beach from the city of Malang, you can depart from Dampit to Tirtoyudo District, then turn right at Tangsi Junction, Tirtoyudo Village. From here to Lenggok Sono Beach, Purwodadi is still about 30 kilometers. Here you will find winding roads, sharp bends, and steep uphill and downhill. Even on the right and left side, there is a steep ravine. Throughout the journey, you can enjoy clove plantations with trees high up to approximately 15 meters. Therefore, Purwodadi is the center and largest producer of cloves in Malang. It takes approximately 3 to 4 hours to reach Lenggok Sono Beach. The route from the city of Malang would pass Turen, Dampit, approximately 1.5 hours from downtown, then to the south up to Tirtoharjo, which is approximately 2.5 hours from Dampit. You are suggested to board a private vehicle because until now there is no public transport to get there. You can also rent a motorcycle from Dampit to reach Lenggok Sono Beach, though the price is relatively expensive for local standards. It's about 70,000 rupiahs. On the other hand, to enter Lenggok Sono Beach, the entrance fee is very cheap, only 5,000 rupiah per person. While motorcycle is charged also 5,000 rupiahs. For your information, $1 or $1 is about 14,000 rupiah. So it's less than half a dollar. Lenggok Sono Beach has a special attraction. Besides the beautiful scenery, you can do snorkeling here. For the underwater view is so wonderful. The beach, in addition to having a variety of fish species such as lobster and squid, has a coastal scenery which is quite beautiful. The white sandy beach covering 1 kilometer circular area surrounded by two green cliffs which is full of shady plants. For anglers, Ngok Sono also offers a comfortable place and a lot of fish. The beach is also famous because in addition to beautiful scenery, the waves there look like they are chasing each other. This beach is surrounded by a very green environment so that it looks like a lake in the middle of the mountains. No wonder Ngok Sono Beach has been designated as an area of ecotourism by the Ministry of Fisheries and Maritime Affairs. On the beach, there are several huts that sell food or beverages. Here, you can also make a bargain with the fishermen who will take you around by boat or by fish catch to get around or cross to the other shore. You usually have to pay a rental boat, 50,000 rupiahs. In addition to renting a boat, you can also do snorkeling. If you do not bring snorkel gear, don't worry because you can rent snorkeling equipment here at a cost of approximately 40,000 rupiahs. From a boat, you also can enjoy the beautiful coral reefs. Boat owners won't give a time limit, so you can be free snorkeling there. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today featuring Ngok Sono Beach in Malang, East Java Province. Until tomorrow with another interesting topic, I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing about 150 astronomers towards solar eclipse in Bangka Belitung province. Indonesia has a variety of attractions that can make tourists come to visit. Besides the natural beauty and cultural diversity, solar eclipse is also a motive for foreigners' arrival to Indonesia in Bangka Belitung province, for example. A total of 150 astronomers from the United States said they would visit the islands to witness the total solar eclipse on March 9, 2016. Head of Promotion and Marketing Department of Culture and Tourism, Bangka Belitung, Ahmad Yani Hazir said he has received the representatives of U.S. astronomers who are looking for accommodation in the Bangka Belitung Islands. The local government has been preparing for board and lodging, including facilities and infrastructure. Ahmad Yani explained the provincial agenda and socialization to welcome the total solar eclipse in three districts, namely Belitung, East Belitung, and Central Bangka districts. In addition, he has coordinated with the Ministries of Economy, Tourism, and Transportation to optimize preparation for the total solar eclipse. Ahmad Yani was excited because many astronomers, students, domestic and foreign tourists enthusiastically look forward to the total solar eclipse in March. He said that the current level of reservation in Bangka Belitung for March the 8th until 10, 2016 has reached 80%, including astronomers from the US. This shows the high interest of tourists and astronomers to visit. He hoped the support of all parties concerned to make optimal preparation so that visitors feel comfortable and satisfied, so they would make a visit to the Bangka Belitung as an annual tourism agenda. Ahmad Yani Hazir said the total solar eclipse is a momentum to introduce tourist area to the world. He said he would do the best preparation so that tourists, both domestic and foreign ones, not just come and watch the total solar eclipse, but also enjoy the natural beauty such as the beaches, art, culture, and culinary typical of Bangka Belitung province. Well, that was Miss Eleni over Voice of Indonesia on 150 astronomers from the USA visit Bangka Belitung to watch the total solar eclipse in March this year.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Eleni on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we will also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you to our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now, let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Avijit Mondal in India. Hello, how are you? Well, he is one of the wonderful Indonesia 2015 quiz winners. In his email, he said that he was listening to our broadcast through the frequency of 9525 kHz at 1756 hours to 18600 hours UTC on November 3rd, 2015. And his info was 443333. Hello, Mr. Avijit Mondal, how are you once again? And thank you very much for always tuning in our radio. Hopefully, you are listening to this broadcast today and get some useful information. Well, Mr. Avijit Mondal, keep listening to this broadcast and please do not forget to send another reception report. Thank you, special for you and all regular listeners. We will play one beautiful song. Enjoy!
Cinta itu buta dan tuli, tak melihat, tak mendengar. Namun datangnya dari hati, tidak bisa dipungkiri. Itu benar, memang benar. Sekejap harus mau. Cinta butuh ruang yang sepi untuk mengutarakan hati kamu. Aku bincang-bincang. Mau bilang cinta tapi takut salah.
Bilang apa sih? Bilang aja, gak apa-apa kok.
Bilang tidak ya. Bilang tidak ya. Mau bilang sayang tapi bukan pacar. We'll be right back.
Listener, now we will reply an email from Andrew Kuznetsov in Latvia. He was listening to our broadcast through the frequency 9525 kHz at 1900 hours to 1931 hours UTC on December 16, 2015. And according to him, the symbol was 33433. Unfortunately, he told that our broadcast was weak. Hello, Mr. Andrew Kuznetsov. Thank you for your attention and appreciation. If you heard our broadcast week in your country, we suggest you to listen to our radio through our website, voi.co.id. And at your request, we will send our key SL card to your home as soon as possible. Well, Mr. Andrew Kuznetsov, we are waiting for your next email and reception report in hope that you will be able to enjoy our radio more. Well then, thank you. And now, before we continue, we will play another beautiful song for you, wherever you are. Enjoy the song.
Aku di sini, di atas awan. Aku tercawan, paras cantik rupawan, tak jemu-jemu aku memandang. Ingin ku merayu, dengarkan aku berlagu, baru aku mengerti artinya bidadari. Sejak di hari ini jumpa kamu di sini, pasti inilah surga. Ku di dalam meskipun sementara, saat kita berjumpa, sebentar lagi kita segera tiba, lepas dari mimpiku jelang realita. Menapak jejak di atas bumi ini, akan ku kenang selalu memori. Baru aku mengerti artinya bidadari. Sejak di hari ini jumpa kamu di sini,
di atas awan.
Hello listener, you are still listening to Listener's Mailbag podcast every Sunday. Now, we continue to reply one more email from Rafael Fontana in Spain. On December 23rd, 2015, he was listening to our broadcast in Spanish. In his email, Mr. Rafael Fontana said that he has been tuned in Voice of Indonesia since 1995. Whoa! Well, hello, Mr. Rafael Fontana. Thank you very much for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. We also wish you Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Hopefully, in 2016, you are always healthy. And Mr. Rafael Fontana, because you said that you love Indonesian music, well, we will play for you a beautiful Indonesian song special for you. Let's check it out.
Jika jari ini pun terus ingin menggenggam tanganmu, jika bibir ini pun terus ingin mengecup bibirmu, jika agar ini
We listeners actually have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off now. In addition to emails, we have also received some greeting cards and recorded greetings from our listeners. Thank you so much for your greetings, and we wish you Happy New Year 2016. Well, listener, we really appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast, so do not hesitate to send us a letter to Voice of Indonesia English Service, P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Also, do not forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and you can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well then, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. Well, I am Steve, thank you very much for listening, and we will meet you again next week in the listener's mailbag. Bye-bye.
Pernah mencoba untuk membalas semua pesan singkatku, padahal itu menyenangkanku. Di sini aku menantimu sama waktu yang membunuhku, tapi kau tak pernah menyambutku. Kamu begitu indah, begitu cantik,
Ararai World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.